Hello there. Welcome to Healthy Cooking with Your Friendly Italians. I'm Jim Burrow.
And I'm Marilyn Burrow.
And we're here to talk about the season of tomatoes, the tomato season. I am really hepped up, Marilyn.
I love tomato season. This year, I hope it goes on for at least a couple months.
That's right. So, and we're going to give you some recipes. We're going to give you some useless information. We're also going to give you some useful information and useless. And we're going to be talking about all different kinds of tomatoes and some other things. So we're going to get the recipes that we're going to have. We're going to have a recipe for no-cook fresh tomatoes with orecchiette.
Now, this is the sauce. And it's a little early on tomato season, but there's still some wonderful tomatoes out there, although I think the better ones will be a little bit later.
The tomatoes at the farmer's market are great.
They're wonderful.
They aren't as good as they're going to be.
Exactly.
But they're very, very good. I even gave some of this cooked fresh tomatoes to Jim, and he even ate it, and his wife ate it, so it's got to be
good. That's got to be good, and I ate it for two lunches, there we go.
And that's
we got four people that thought it was great.
That's right. That's going to be our devil today. But plus, we're gonna do green tomatoes, not fried green tomatoes, which are good, we're going to do a green tomato casserole. We're going to oven dry some plum tomatoes that once they're done, they just melt in your mouth. It's like eating sugar. And we're going to do some tomatoes that we're going to cut into quarters and glaze them with a little vinegar. They're all going to be really interesting and easy recipes to do. So, and you know, this time of the year, tomatoes, garden to market, to the market, to our tables. Can't get any better than that.
Yes.
And eventually we're going to get into heirloom tomatoes. And, you know, this is almost as good as sex, to take a tomato, slice it in half, put a little olive oil and butter, and eat it.
Is he telling his age?
Yeah. Well, it's actually better than barbecue. All right? I can't say enough good. I'm on a high when we talk about it. It's my high. So let us get right into our first recipe that we did a demonstration on to give you an idea of how we put this thing together. Again, it's very easy. So we're going to do a no-cook
tomato sauce. To put over pasta.
So that's what we're going to be doing. And this is an easy recipe to do. And we're going to be using orecchiette. And orecchiette, the pasta, is the ears.
It translates into little ears. Ette means small.
Yep.
So it's small ears. Okay.
This works for this recipe. It works out extremely well. And another good part about it, you don't have to skin the tomatoes. You don't have to seed the tomatoes. It's done in a very, very easy fashion. The one thing you must remember when we do this recipe is that the orecchiette that you're going to cook, you want to put it over this sauce warm.
The orecchiette has to be warm.
Warm.
And you put the cold sauce over it, but you do
she
want...
She keeps me on an arrow.
Well, I do.
I get strained. Jim, don't do that.
Get there all mixed up.
All right. So here we go. We're going to give you a little hint on on how we do this. And
there he is in his kitchen.
Yeah. Good way to take your aggressions out, smash those garlic up, and then chop them up. I'm not going to heat anything here except for the pasta over on the side. Okay. Now we're going to start putting all these wonderful things in the bowl. I've got some wonderful, this time of the year, great red onions.
The red onions at the farmer's market and the white onions are just wonderful. They really are good.
And you can make chop them up on a course. They don't, you don't have to finely chop them. And we're going to add half of that onion to this mixture. I use a cleaver a lot. It's a Chinese cleaver, and it is number one. It cuts well, but it also you can pick up a lot of stuff well. Here I've taken them, my tomatoes. I've cut them up fresh, beautiful red tomatoes. Put
that.
And
these were from the farmer's market. Now, I think they were probably grown in a hothouse, but they're very, very good.
I think they get them started extremely early.
Early, yes.
And there's some parsley that's going into it.
Now, these herbs we grew on our porch. This is all container gardening. These are all fresh herbs, just picked.
Yep.
And I think that makes a big difference also. The other thing, Jim, is the garlic. And we had a wonderful experience by going to the garlic festival this past Sunday.
We did. We went over on Sunday, and they had
Fox Run.
Yeah, Fox Run, and they had thousands of people there. But it was nice.
The different garlics. Yeah. Again, you can get a completely different flavor by using different garlics. And
yes,
there's a vast variety of garlic, as there is a vast variety of tomatoes.
I think one of my favorite garlics, Marilyn, is what they call the German garlic.
The
and
German
it has a little red tinge to it.
Right.
And this time of the year,
and I
you
thought
can
the
get
Russian
that.
Garlic was particularly
and the Russian
good
garlic.
Too.
Sauter's has a good combination of that. Chopping up some more herbs to add to this. That's fresh margarine that I'm putting in, which is a great. Really, really nice additive to it.
For some reason this year we have two different margarines. One has a big wide leaf and one has a small little one, but
right.
Both of them being very good.
And there's, again, scallions from the garden.
Chives.
Chives from the garden. And here is that wonderful basil.
Yes, the king of all herbs,
right.
It's basil.
And
fresh basil.
And I am going to chiffonade it. Does that sound very...
Yes. Well, that's what you're doing.
I'm chiffonading it. That's called chiffonading.
When you roll it and then slice
right.
it.
So that's... So we got quite a few things in there now. We're going to... I had a little piece of... wonderful fresh mozzarella. I don't think this is I showed it in the recipe, but I thought, what the heck, I might as well put that in there too.
That's right, we bought that lovely
mozzarella. As we always say, you got to do your own thing, and what you want to use, what's available. Now I've got some marinated olives,
and this is a combination of olives.
A combination
you,
of
you have some blacks
red.
And reds or
yep,
the blacks and greens.
And
some being stronger than others, but they were all very good. And weren't they flavored with a little hot pepper or something?
A little hot pepper and olive oil.
Yes, they were already flavored.
And I think a little vinegar was in them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do this. You can do whatever you have handy. I just happen to have these handy, so I did them. I put a Kalamata olive in there, which I really enjoy.
And what are you putting in now?
That's pesto.
And pesto.
A little dollop of pesto because I had it, so I used it. Right.
And Jim, we've got so much basil has been making pesto
right.
and freezing it, which
There's
is
little,
really nice in a
little
bowl.
Hot pepper, a little salt. Freshly ground pepper, always good to use freshly ground pepper in this. And I think we got some cheese that's going to go in there. Jim, where's the cheese? Got to put the olive oil in. Drizzle it with olive oil.
How could you live without the olive oil?
You can't live without the olive oil. I'm using a Pompeian extra virgin olive oil, which I like, which I buy at Walmart, and it's very good. There's the zest of some lemons. That if you don't have a zester, you should get one. They are you can actually zest a garlic clove on there. Of course, it could take your finger a little skin off.
You can actually grate cheese on that one. That's a microplane
yes.
kind
yes.
of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and here is a grated cheese that I grated the day before. And, you know, you put in what you want and how much you want of it. Okay. Mix that with your hands. It must taste much better in a metal bowl and doing it with your hands, right? Okay. And now we...
So this is... He's just taking this out of the hot water. Now, I mean, this is important because that yeah. does... bring the flavors all together that you're putting it over hot pasta.
Yes.
You don't eat it hot. You eat it at room temperature, but you must put the pasta in when it's hot. And there it goes.
And you mix this up, and you've got a great dish, you don't try to, if you want to let it set for a while and eat it at room temperature, as Marilyn said, you don't want to reheat this, okay? That is going to make it mushy, and we don't want that. So it's an easy dish. Great dish for as a salad for a party. I've got my Chinese bowl that I'm going to put some of that in there. And that looks pretty good, Marilyn.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah. So now the only thing that is missing
is another little dollop of olive oil.
God, have another
you and Mario Batali, let me tell you, he does the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
If any of you watch The Chew, he's always putting a little extra olive oil on.
And
it's always extra virgin, of course.
Absolutely. I have a little dry rosé, so I'm going to have that, make the presentation of the dish, have a little wine, and olé, we made it. So try this. I think you'll
enjoy it. Wonderful summer dish.
All right. No cook with tomatoes with orecchiette. Really a nice trip. Marilyn, let's talk about heirloom tomatoes. We mentioned it before.
It's not
what is an heirloom?
It's not quite the season for them. These start from seed, and they take the seed from the year before, and they dry the seed. And they've lost some of the originals, but most of them they have. And, it's part of the organic gardening, all of that. But these tomatoes are incredible because they have all different flavors. Some of them are more acidic. Some of them are sweeter. Some of them are smoky. Some of them have all kinds of different flavors. So you really have to taste them to know.
And these seeds, heirloom, meaning these seeds have been in families for years and
well,
years and years.
Well, these go way back.
Way, way back. And there's no better way than to have them picked from the farm and brought to the farm market. And it's from the farm to the table for you to eat. The supermarket does have some heirlooms, but they're picked a couple of days before.
Obviously, just to travel them and put them out on the shelves in a supermarket, they have to be picked a little bit early. You can actually get them from farm to table, whether you go to the farmer's market or whether you stop at all these wonderful little roadside stands along the way, on any of the routes along here. If you go on 318, 414, any of these roads, any of the lake roads, there is one little vegetable stand after another.
Yeah,
and they have those wonderful tomatoes, too.
Marilyn, we go on a wine tour. Maybe we should take a tomato tour.
Well, you can.
Right?
You can take a vegetable tour, too.
Now, when you look at these heirlooms, they look misshapen. They got cracks in them. It is not important. It doesn't affect the flavor at all.
No, and they're all different colors.
And they're all different colors and misshapen. Pick them up. Feel them. They're nice and heavy. Smell them. They should have a nice earthy smell to them. There's all different colors involved in them. There's red and pink and black and purple and orange. You should try them all. They have names like Green Zebra, Lemon Boy, Brandywine, all kinds of white. There's white ones. There's chocolate cherry ones. Sample them. They're the best. They're absolutely the best.
In the height of the season, I don't think there's anything better than to take a fresh tomato, cut it in half, put a little salt and pepper on it, and, for me, that could be lunch because I really, really like them that much.
They're good that way. What's better? Cut them in slices, put some basil and garlic and olive oil and a little bit of vinegar and mozzarella
and
some
bread. And
then you
have salad caprese, and it is wonderful.
And this is the only time to eat salad caprese. The ones in the other times
the
of the year.
Tomatoes caprese.
Yeah, tomatoes, right. So you should try that. Okay, let's give them another recipe, Marilyn. What about green tomatoes?
Well, if they don't ripen or whatever, or you've got too many and you want to use them up, We all know that fried green tomatoes are wonderful, but Jim has a casserole dish.
Yeah,
and it sounds really good.
And if you're going to make fried green tomatoes, use a tempura batter. It comes out crispier. But this is a different type of, a lot healthier for you than fried. And you're going to heat up, you're going to chop up some onion, and you're going to put in a little olive oil, and you're going to brown it for about 5 minutes. Don't get it too brown. And then a little salt, a little curry powder, some pepper, some sugar, and a little bit of water, and let that simmer for about 5 minutes. Now, you preheat the oven to about 300 degrees,
yep. Yes.
And you're going to make it in a casserole. You're going to put a layer
of the tomatoes,
a layer of onion, layer of tomatoes, and build this thing up. Put some breadcrumbs over the top, sprinkle it with a little cheese, and cook it for 45 minutes. And it's a great, great dish.
And
so
again,
it's a different
yeah,
thing.
And again, I think even at room temperature, that would be delicious after it was baked.
Right.
So
the other thing, Marilyn, this is going to be later on in the season when we talk about tomatoes, you're going to have beefsteak tomatoes, which are the big, big tomatoes. And they're somewhat misshapen, but they're the sweetest tomatoes. They're a later tomato. They're succulent. The uglier looking, the better they taste.
Yeah, don't think about the shapes. Just
right.
Go for it.
And they have... They have all different colors of tomatoes, and you should really, really try those. That's going to be probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks away.
They're a while away, and those are the ones that are really good if you just cut them and put salt and pepper on them. They're exceptionally good for that because they're not really watery. When they say beefsteak, that's what they mean, is that it's quite firm.
Now, going from there, let's talk about plum tomatoes. And making, putting them in and roasting them, oven roasted tomatoes. Now the ones
you hear about in the store, they call them sun dried tomatoes. I'm not always a fan of those because somehow to me they're a little bitter. But this is a variation of that, and they come out. These really do enhance any tomato dish or any dish that you put them in. So.
The drawback to them is you're putting them in an oven at a low temperature.
Right.
You're going to cut them in half. And they're going to stay in there at about 160, 170 degrees or lower for maybe 6 or 7 hours. And you'll know they're done when you pull them out and all of the liquid is gone, okay?
Yes.
You can also sprinkle them before you put them on a baking sheet. Sprinkle them with a little olive oil. You can put some fresh herbs on there. You can put some garlic on there if you want, and do it that way. And then you take them and you can put them in there. They'll last for a long time.
If you put them in a screw top jar that keeps the air out of them, then you can keep them quite a while in your refrigerator.
Now some Italians will go ahead and when they take them out, they will put vinegar over them and soak the vinegar out of them, drain it. And then put them in jars and cover it with olive oil, and they'll last forever. But they're going to come out. They're going to be the sweetest things that
yes.
you can taste. They are absolutely wonderful, and it's like eating candy. It's you start eating and you can't stop. So you might want to try those. Another great tomato recipe. So I've got some facts about food, Marilyn.
Oh, okay.
Some of them don't mean much.
I see. All right. Some of them may be useful. Some of them may not. Is that what you're trying
to
say?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
Do you know that in order to make 1 gallon of maple syrup, you have to use 40 gallons
of the sap? Now, some people think, do I really have to spend my money on a good maple syrup? Well, in my opinion, you do. But that's why it's so expensive, because it does take a lot of sap to make real maple syrup, but there's nothing like it. And the New York State maple syrup is absolutely wonderful, and all those that are in the New England states are really, really good. Just use a little, you know, but they're wonderful.
They are wonderful. Now, here's something you probably don't know. Peanuts are not nuts. You're supposed to ask me, what are they?
What are they?
I love this word, legumes.
That means they're beans, but that means they're still very healthy.
That's the French word. I'm multilingual.
But it means they're very healthy for you, as beans are. You know, the nuts are. Most nuts are very healthy for you.
The first cookbook that was ever published in the United States was in 1796.
Oh, my goodness.
How's that? There's another wonderful piece of information. I don't know what the heck
I don't
you're
know
going
what
to
you do with
it.
That piece of information, but otherwise, I'm not even sure you would want to see the cookbook, but that's okay.
Yeah. I also have a piece of information that is useless.
Okay.
You know the car guys on the radio?
Oh, I love them.
All right. They came up with this, that when it rains, if you are standing still, the rain that's on your windshield will not be as much as if you're driving in the rain. There's more rain going to hit the windshield. Because when you're moving, you not only get the rain coming straight down, you get the rain that's supposed to end up in your hood on your windshield. Does that make any sense? Probably not.
I love these
guys. It's useless, but
well,
we love them.
I love these guys because I know nothing about cars, but on Saturday to listen to them on NPR,
right.
And they just make you laugh.
And what does that have to do with a cooking show? I don't know, but
we have
a lot of ability to to do other things, and he doesn't fire us. So what do you know? Okay, the last recipe we got is tomatoes that are cooked in vinegar, and all you're doing is you're going to take and make. Cut your tomatoes into quarters.
Right.
You don't have to seed them. You don't have to do anything like that. Heat up some butter and add the tomatoes and cook over high heat for about 3 minutes.
That's all you need.
Add some vinegar and shallots. Shake the pan back and forth. You don't want them to disintegrate on you. And you're done.
You want to thicken that sauce. I mean, whatever liquid, you want to make sure it thickens a bit.
That's right. You want a little thickening on it. So that's an easy recipe. I got to mention one other thing. The sauerkraut festival was last week.
Yes, it was.
And I just came up with an idea. If you want to, you know, we talked about potato salads before. If you take some sauerkraut and put it in water, drain it, and squeeze it, add that to your favorite recipe for sauerkraut. It is very good.
For potato salad, I think you meant.
What did I say?
You were going to put sauerkraut in sauerkraut, but I don't think that's what you meant.
You see what happens? I get senile as I get older.
I don't think that's what you meant, but that's okay. I think we got it. I think they could have figured that out.
One of these days I'm going to come in here and go, where the heck am I?
No, but, you're not.
Well, that's about all I've got for this today. Marilyn, we're going to, the next time we meet, we're going to bring in people from Cornell Extension.
Right. These are the people that do the farmers markets around here. The one that's in Seneca Falls, I think they do one in Waterloo too. But anyway, these are the people that get all these farmers to come to your little communities and give you the chance to go to the farmer market.
That's right.
And buy all these wonderful ingredients.
And we're going to talk about what's available in the farmers market, and we're going to give you some recipes. And Patty Bartley is going to be with us.
She'll be our guest and explain this a little bit more.
Right. And so that should be. And thank God for the Cornell Extension. They are the impetus of working.
Of these farmers' markets. But they also do some wonderful things like demonstrations and all kinds of cooking things. I mean, they're a wonderful resource. We're so lucky to live this close to Cornell and Cornell Extension and that they're available in all of our communities.
Yep.
So.
And I remember, I grew up in Ithaca, Maryland, and I remember we went up to where they were at the University of at Cornell.
No,
they
had, at the agricultural school is probably where you went,
school.
Yes.
They were experimenting with corn, and they had all the corn covered, you know, with bags on them.
Right.
We didn't understand why they were covered, but there was nobody around, and we stole some of the corn.
These were when they were kids in high school.
I was a juvenile delinquent.
Right, he wasn't.
So we took him back and we ate him. The following day, there was a little thing on the radio saying that somebody had taken some of these corn, and those were diseased corn, and you could get sick. Now we have to weigh. Are we
going to tell your parents?
Going to tell our parents and get get that way, or do we just wait and die? we waited and we didn't die, so
you worry. Were fine.
All right. So anyways, thank you for being with us. Enjoy. The summer is going by so quickly.
Enjoy all the fresh vegetables and fruits and everything.
Yeah, this is the season. So, ciao. Nice being with you.
Ciao.